Hello there. I thought it's time we had a bit of a talk together about the situation we find ourselves in. I think it was Michael Collins, who was the command module pilot of Apollo 11, how that when they came back to Earth after a successful mission, he said the worst thing about the whole mission was the 3 weeks he had to spend in isolation when he got back. And the truth is, they quarantined the lunar astronauts in case they were bringing back any pathogen with them from the moon. But now we are quarantined to all intents and purposes to stop the spread of a worldwide pandemic. And if we do this well, it will help our nation and help our health system deal with genuine cases. And so we're doing what the government tells us to do, which is good advice. I wanted to just share with you something I think the Bible has to say about this situation. And I found it in Jeremiah chapter 38, which I have to say to you is probably my favourite passage in the book of Jeremiah, because it says these words that people came to the king and they said to him, "This man," talking about Jeremiah, "ought to die because he's weakening the morale of the warriors who remain in this city and of all the people by speaking to them in this way. This man is not seeking the well-being of this people, but disaster." King Zedekiah said, "Here he is. He's in your hands, since the king can't do anything against you." So they took Jeremiah and dropped him into the cistern of Malchiah, the king's son, which was in the guard's courtyard, lowering Jeremiah with ropes. There was no water in the cistern, only mud, and Jeremiah sank in the mud. And then it goes on to say how a man called Ebed-Melech comes back to rescue Jeremiah with the king's permission. And it says he took the men under his authority and went to the king's palace to a place below the storehouse. From there he took old rags and worn out clothes and lowered them by ropes to Jeremiah in the cistern. Ebed-Melech the Cushite cried out to Jeremiah, "Place these old rags and clothes beneath your armpits and the ropes." Jeremiah did so, and they pulled him up with the ropes and lifted him out of the cistern. But he continued to stay in the guard's courtyard. What an awful situation Jeremiah found himself in. Lowered into a cistern. And remember, this happens to him because he's done the right thing. This has happened to him because he has spoken on the Lord's behalf and done exactly what God told him to do. And you know, you might think, why is this happening to you? You haven't done anything wrong for it. Well, since when did things in our lives depend on our behaviour? I have to say to you, if what happened in my life depended on my behaviour, I wouldn't have much of a life. We experience many things by the grace of God, but we also experience things that are common to man. The sun shines on the righteous and the unrighteous. And we have to recognise that sometimes the experiences we come across in life are just what are common to man. Now, here we have Jeremiah lowered into a cistern, basically a great big hole in the ground, which used to have water in it, but the water is exhausted, and so he is just up to his knees in mud or his waist in mud. We don't even know if he was up to his neck in mud, but basically he was in a place where he was restricted. Not only could he not get out, he couldn't really move because he was hemmed in by mud. You know, here we are staying in our nice houses with our central heating and our refrigerators, and we're getting deliveries of food and all types of things. And yet we can look at the walls and think they're coming in on us. But I want to suggest this first point to you, that the walls are not in charge. Don't let restriction break your spirit. You know, you have to fight that sinking feeling. It's easy sometimes to allow your circumstances to depress you, but the outlook must not dominate our inner vision. I just want to say to you today, don't be obsessed with restrictions. Okay, because you can't go out all the time. You can't get in the car. You can't get on the bus. Whatever it is, you know, the walls are not in charge. That God, the same God who blesses you in so many ways, is with you now. And you don't have to allow the walls to be in charge. Allow God to be in charge. Invite God into your day. You know, where Jeremiah was a very confined space. But he learnt to invite God into that space. Instead of being trapped in a cistern, he decided he would be trapped in Bethel, the house of God. He decided that the place where he was trapped would be a place of praise, a place of blessing, a place of singing, a place of rejoicing, a place of prayer. A place when he would bring to mind the word of the Lord. These were the things that Jeremiah decided to do with this confinement that he faced. And these are the same things that we can decide to do too. I've been told that we are terribly short in this country of toilet roll. Or at least, it's unequally distributed. A friend of mine posted on Facebook the other day, I have started cutting up the Daily Mirror, ready for when we run out of the last toilet roll. Now, I was absolutely horrified by this because I never knew she read the Daily Mirror. But you know, whatever you read and whatever restrictions you are under and whatever plans you are making to ensure that you have a clean bottom, let me say this to you. It's important that we don't become obsessed with counting every sheet. We have to remember that God is good and that we will get through this. Have you ever seen a movie where people get trapped in a lift and it tumbles so many floors and then it hangs there for ages and they have to wait while someone comes and sets them free and rescues them. The thing that I have never seen in one of those movies, and I've seen quite a few of them, is nobody ever decides which corner of the lift is going to be a toilet. For the time that people are in that lift, I cannot believe that they don't need to use the toilet. We ignore that because it's an unpleasant thought and we don't want it to be real. And yet, if you really are confined, you have to think about things like that. And for Jeremiah, sunk in the mud, it wasn't a question of where he could go to the toilet. He had to go where he was. I've always said, if you're in a lift, designate a corner, find the corner that's the lowest, and that's your toilet. But, you know, we shouldn't damage ourselves by holding on to things that can harm us. I'm speaking metaphorically now, that sometimes we have things in our lives that we need to let go of and we need to let them pass. Holding on to them will only cause us discomfort. While you are confined today, why don't you let your anger pass? Why don't you let your hurt pass? Why don't you yet let your feelings against people pass? In your confinement, practice forgiveness. You know, you'll feel a lot better when it's passed. My third point today is don't trust circumstantial evidence. We shouldn't allow the lack of recent fresh water to make us think that we're living in a time of drought. We shouldn't think that because we're confined to our homes that we will die here. Strictly speaking, Jeremiah was put there for the truth. He was weakening morale. But a higher truth was in operation because Jeremiah was speaking for God. Jeremiah was saying exactly what God told him to do. And sometimes we get beaten up for doing the right thing. Think about Balaam's ass, or should I say Balaam's donkey. When Balaam's donkey gets beaten, he is stopping Balaam riding into the sword of the angel of the Lord. He is saving Balaam's life. And yet what does Balaam do is he beats his donkey for it. And what a shock Balaam got when his donkey spoke to him and told him what was happening. The beating didn't stop Balaam's donkey from doing what he should have done. And we need to make sure that we don't allow this time of restriction in our lives to make us do things that we shouldn't do or not do the things that we should do. Indeed, we should be the best Christians we can be, trapped in our own homes. And don't tell me there's nothing you can do for Jesus, because there's loads of things you can do. You've got a telephone, you've got email, you have got so many options before you. I want to encourage you that there are lots of people you can get on the phone to and encourage along the way. Sometimes, if we were to go by circumstance, we will totally get things wrong. A friend of mine said to me, "Oh, have you seen Pastor So-and-so's new car?" And I said, "No, I haven't. What is it?" And so he said to me, "It's a Porsche." And I said, "Wow, that's something." And so he said, "Yes." He said, "God must be really blessing that man." Now, I'm not saying God isn't blessing that man, but since when did God's blessing mean you got a Porsche or any other fast vehicle or any other worldly wealth? The truth is, if we think like that, we're thinking non-biblically. You see, there's a man in the Bible that we read about in one of the epistles, and it says of him that he was beaten 5 times with 39 lashes. He was beaten with rods 3 times. He was actually stoned to death once, but God raised him up. And he got shipwrecked 3 times. Now, I have to ask you this. Who gets shipwrecked 3 times? I think after twice, you would never sail by ship again. The reality is this man had an awful lot of bad experiences. And it goes on to list the whole load of rubbish that happened to him. And this was the Apostle Paul. You can't judge by someone's circumstances whether or not they're in God's blessing, because this man was a definition of God's blessing. But he experienced things which were unpleasant and restrictions on his life. He wrote from the Philippian jail how he expected that this would pass, that he would soon be released. And that is exactly what happened to him. He was set free. But if we sit there thinking this is the end, the walls are going to fall in on me, I am never going to get out of this place, then maybe we won't. I want to encourage you. The walls are not in charge. Don't trust circumstantial evidence. The reality is, circumstantial evidence produces unsafe convictions and miscarriages of justice. And we don't want your conviction to be unsafe. We don't want a lack of justice to be in your life because of circumstantial evidence. Not every hole in the ground is a grave. This cistern was supposed to be Jeremiah's grave. it says they left him there to die. And can I tell you this? There was no intention of a decent burial afterwards. This was a hole in the ground they'd finished with, and they were just going to leave him there to die and to rot. But I want to say to you today, we shouldn't be looking at this restriction as meaning our deaths. In fact, actually, it may indeed be an opportunity for a miracle. Do you remember Elisha when in 2 Kings 3 he goes out to war with the kings, and Jehoshaphat says, isn't there not a prophet of the Lord we can inquire of? And Elisha is happy to prophesy because Jehoshaphat is there. And he says, this is what the word of the Lord says, dig ditch after ditch in this wadi. For the Lord says, you will not see wind or rain, but the wadi will be filled with water, and you will drink, you, your cattle, and your animals. And the truth is, they told the soldiers to go out with their shovels and dig holes in the ground. I can imagine this. They say, guys, dig a hole at least as big as yourself. And they're digging these out, and one of them saying to the other, well, if I don't get a drink soon, I'm going to die of thirst. And the other one says to the first one, well, you're in a good place, mate. You're digging your own grave. And then I can hear the whispers saying, guys, the king's getting us to dig our own graves. We're just digging holes in the ground, and we're going to die here, and we're going to leave the ground tidy because we're all going to die in our own graves. But that isn't what happened. The reality was that at night, water flowed across the land, and it was gathered into these holes, and it looked from the distance when the sun was rising like blood was flowing over the land. And the enemy descended on them saying, let's go to the spoils because they've killed each other. And that was when Israel and Judah defeated their enemy. The reality is sometimes it works out. And I want to say to you today, this quarantine period, this isolation is going to work out for the kingdom of God. We've seen how already on a Sunday morning, how our attendance at meetings virtually has gone up fivefold. Now, if even half of those people come and join us when we're finished, we're going to have a lot bigger church. The reality is that we're having well over 1,000 people watch afterwards what we've done in terms of worship and that's in addition to those that have been with us, and we thank God for that. And I've heard from other sources that this is happening all over our land. Well, thank God for that. The reality is that people are taking hold of the opportunities to connect with God, and we are providing them, and we need to carry on providing that opportunity for people. But understand this, this is not the end. This is not the end for our church, it's not the end for any church. This is just a new opportunity for us to adapt and to reach out to people at this time. And I want you to join me in praying that we are successful in doing this. Also, I want you to join with me in recognising opportunity. It says that they threw down a rope for Jeremiah. Now, we all know Jeremiah had a little bit of a tendency to get a bit depressed. We read about that in Lamentations, where in some translations it actually says he was quite depressed. But I can imagine this rope coming down and Jeremiah saying, right, this is the end. They've decided to give me the opportunity to hang myself. This will end it all quickly. I may as well just tie it round my neck and let them pull. But they didn't want him to tie the rope round his neck. They wanted it to them to tie it round his body so they could pull him up. And they provided him with padding as well so that the ropes wouldn't burn him. Let's not miss an opportunity. When God is offering to pull us up, let's accept the pull. Some people wouldn't allow the rags to touch their skin because their theologies don't interact very well with rags. Let me say to you, if God throws you rags, accept rags. Don't fight the process. Partner with it because it will give you lift. And we all need a lift sometimes, don't we? Remember this, Romans 8:28, we know that in all things God is working for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So, change your cell into a sanctuary. I often hear people say, I love coming to the house of God because there's a sense that people have been here praying for years and there's just a sense of the latent manifestation of the presence of God in the building. And I have to say to you, I'm not absolutely convinced about that. But I do know this, where I am, God wants to be. And where God's people are, God wants to be. And I've found that whether we were in a community centre or we're in a designated church building like we are now, that God has always turned up for us. And I want to say to you, if you're in a hole right now, if you're in isolation right now, God wants to turn up for you. So take the opportunity, sing, pray, read in your house. Remind yourself of the goodness of God. Tell yourself stories about how good God has been to you. Recount the truth of God's word to each other. If you're isolated with other members of your family. See beyond where you are now. You might say, well, I've not got much of a view from my window. But do you know what? You can see yourself out there if you think about it. And I want to encourage you to have a vision about what you will accomplish for God, how you will work for God, how you will listen to God and do as he says when this is all over. Of course, I would very much doubt that you will do that unless you will start doing it now. We need to start obeying God, listening to God, encouraging each other when we are in isolation, so that when we leave isolation, we will continue and do that even more so. See beyond where you are now. Your influence goes beyond the hole you're in, you know. Jeremiah influenced everyone in Jerusalem, and you just don't know who listens to you, who watches you. You have no idea who takes notice of your life. Which is why we ought to make sure our lives count for something. Lastly, I just want to say, you need to remember things that fill your heart with hope. In another place, Jeremiah records, I tell myself I'm finished. I can't count on the Lord to do anything for me. Just thinking about my troubles and my lonely wandering makes me miserable. That's all I ever think about, and I am depressed. Then I remember something that fills me with hope. The Lord's kindness never fails. If he had not been merciful, we would have been destroyed. The Lord can always be trusted to show mercy each morning. Deep in my heart, I say, the Lord is all I need. I can depend on him. Jeremiah shows us the way that we should bring to mind that which fills us with hope. You might say, I find it difficult at the moment, Stephen. Well, maybe you do, But you won't find it impossible. If it's a choice, you have to make it. If it's a matter of discipline, where you sit there and you think about the goodness of the Lord, then that is what it will take. But it will generate hope in your life. And we need to have that hope today. I want to encourage all of you who are listening to this that relationship with Jesus is the way out of feeling isolated. Because whoever you are, if you know Jesus is with you, you are never alone. Jesus himself said, I will never leave you alone. And that's the truth. And if we accept that, we will experience the breakthrough of liberation and freedom, even though we are isolated in our own house. This is truth, and this is the way that God can speak to all of us and liberate all of us. Come on, let's pray. Father, I just ask you right now that you would cause your people to think on your word and be focused on their freedom. Even though they are restricted physically at the moment, help them to be prepared for when they are set free. And Lord, help them to learn to serve others at this time and to focus on you and to sort out their inner chaos, that they might be righteous before you, knowing the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Lord Jesus, bless us, help us. Holy Spirit, come, hover over us. In our homes right now, we ask you to come and fill us anew. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you, people.